Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. Like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here. YouTube.com/Steven Larson. In the comments, in the YouTube comments from yesterday, somebody said, I think it was Donnie Soares. I think it was just from today. He said, YouTube unsubbed me twice this month. So look.
What's the deal?
If you want to be subbed to Going In Raw, there's a little subscribe button.
Check that you are.
Because evidently,
you can't trust YouTube to maintain your subscription for you.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. Yeah, it's bad. Anyways, we're not recording right there.
Oh, we should probably do that.
Do you want to go run up and do that real quick?
I'll go do that. We can just keep going, though.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask them real quick, what car should I get? Oh, you just got shocked again.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Anyways.
You should get a car like I have. Great gas mileage. Great warranty.
Nah, that's weird. I can't be twinning that much. I don't want to do that.
You should get an electric car.
I told you my thoughts on that. 20 years, like, so I'm going to this car for a very long time because that's what I do. And I firmly feel that by the time I don't have this car anymore, it's all going to be self-driving. There's going to be a massive shift in the way people get to and from places.
All right.
The rise of Uber and Lyft have been absolutely amazing in terms of, have you ever looked up the stats of like DUIs? They have to have gone down significantly.
You got
to
do something about that.
I'm doing it. It's done. It's not, I shouldn't be showing up in here. I don't know why it does that.
Yeah, your computer makes a bunch of random noises. The other day when I came in here, it was every minute or 2 minutes, it was blum, blum, blum.
I don't know. I have no idea why.
I don't know why either.
There's nothing showing up.
Yeah,
here.
You get no notifications when it does.
Nothing's happening.
Anyways, no, I understand your point. I mean, I for one, don't really look forward to the day of all self-driving cars because I enjoy the act of driving. And in just my nature, I like being in control of my own destiny. So I like to be one driving the car.
Where nobody's in control of their own destiny, man.
Well, as much as one can be.
Yeah, it's all an illusion.
I understand that.
You know,
when I drive, I understand I can't control the people that are driving on the road around me. So, someone can just T-bone me at any time.
I know, dude.
And I can't control that.
Yeah.
But at least if I was driving myself versus being in a self-driving car, I could say, well, at least if I got in that, it was my doing or nothing to do with my doing. I at least tried the best I could to have a part in controlling my own destiny. Whereas I'm in a self-driving car, I mean, they could have gotten some course-crushing thing that could have put them into a lane, bang, T-bone. I wouldn't have done.
You know, most times when you're in a plane,
That's autopilot.
It's autopilot.
No, I understand.
No, it's just going to be for cars. Same thing. You're good. You're good to go.
But there's still a human in that cockpit that, should the technology fail, can take control of that plane and fly it correctly.
Yeah.
And that's, if my understanding of the self-driving vehicles is correct, that won't be the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all computers.
Yeah. You know,
computers malfunction.
Yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't malfunctioning last night. SmackDown's creative team.
There you go. Nice try to segue there.
There you go. Anyways, SmackDown was fantastic last night. It was fantastic.
It was a fun show.
And I still think, like, Raw was good. Just take out that Sammy crap, and it was fine. SmackDown, all in all, through and through, from beginning to end, it was fantastic. There was a lot of fun stuff last night.
Mm-hmm.
A lot
mm-hmm.
of stuff to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
What kicked off the show last night?
We had Miz TV with Miz. His first order of business was to announce the premiere date of his new reality show, Miz and Mrs. I think it's July 24th, June 24th, sometime this summer.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I didn't make note of it. He just announced the date.
Yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
You can look it up on USA, your local cable provider can give you that information. Anyways, so he brings out the New Day,
mm-hmm.
and he wants the New Day to tell him
who
of them will be in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
And of course they do that. And he says, okay, I walked into that one. Which one of you is going to be in
which?
Money?
Which?
They all start saying which.
And they
which?
Said, okay, we'll do it on the count of three. One, two, three. Me. They all say me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, Miz is like, come on.
Yeah. Give me a break here.
Yeah.
He tries to manipulate them a little bit. He tries to put
each of them over too, except for Kofi. He says, Kofi, you've been in five Money in the Bank ladder matches and haven't been able to win any of them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about Big E saying like he had all the charisma, all the physical talent, but there was something. Oh, he doesn't take himself seriously. And then he say, Xavier Woods, you take yourself seriously. You're the brains behind
up, down, down,
this massive YouTube channel with over 1.5 million views. But what was the caveat?
I was surprised.
There was no caveat, was there?
He said, imagine how much bigger you could be with Up, Up, Down, Down if you're wearing the WWE title as you're playing Fortline. And then everybody laughed at him because it's Fortnite, which was a really kind of a cute moment because even Miz sort of laughed about it.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been better. This is nitpicking. It would have been much better. He says, if you try to build your in-ring career the way you built up, up,
that's
down, down.
That's where I expected it to go.
I thought he was going
to
go there. Yeah. That would have been good. But no, I see what he's saying. He's appealing to, I could build that even more up if I'm the WWE champion.
Mm-hmm.
I really like, number one, I really love that they're teasing so hardcore the idea of the New Day winning Money in the Bank. That would be so freaking amazing.
Yeah.
If New Day pulled that down.
Heck
if they
yes.
got that, that would be fantastic.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
So anyways, again, they stymie The Miz in his attempts to find out who from the New Day is going to represent or going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And then he says, The Miz does, you know, I can beat any member of the New Day any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, talk, commiserate amongst each other. And they say, okay, it's going to be Big E.
Yeah.
And The Miz says, there you go. Big E is going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And they all go, no, hold on. It's going to be him. Big E facing The Miz tonight in a match.
Right.
And The Miz says, no, I'm not going to have a match tonight. Goes backstage. He's met there in gorilla position by Paige. They must not gotten their cue right away to start the conversation because they kind of stand there awkwardly for a few moments.
It was – yeah, I thought that maybe –
like maybe they thought they were going to cut to a video package or something?
Well, I thought that – look, I take for granted that things go smoothly on a live broadcast – So I sort of looked away and then I was like, oh, I thought they were going to go to commercial and they were just standing there. And I was like, oh, they're doing like a little moment of awkwardness right now.
Well, then The Miz,
I think you're right.
The Miz did like a couple gestures without talking.
Yeah.
Like saying,
oh, yeah.
Are we going to have a conversation here?
Yeah.
And then they get into it.
They're a gorilla. Why isn't somebody saying do this?
I know.
Like talk.
I know.
That's weird. They were doing gorilla conversations on Raw the night
before. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, so yeah, but that's kind of a new thing. I kind of like that.
Anyways, Paige says, no, you have a match with Big E, and it's happening right now. Go back out there.
Yeah. And he's like, no, can we just stand here awkwardly for some more? That's funny. I didn't even think that was like a goof up. I was like, oh, they're just standing there awkwardly because Miz ran away.
What's it went on way right too now? Long to
that's
just
funny.
Be an
yeah.
awkward moment.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's hilarious.
Someone missed their cue or forgot who had the first line or something.
Oof.
Or they thought there was going to be a video package rolling before that. Yeah. I don't know. It's a live broadcast. There's a lot of intricacies in orchestrating a live broadcast.
It's funny.
And the fact that this kind of stuff doesn't happen on a regular basis is actually super impressive.
I know. You know what's funny? You know what's hilarious? Is that, so like, we've been watching wrestling so long. No part of me thinks that without training, I can get in there. And even though I've seen it go down, it's such a different thing. Like, you know, movies, for example. You can watch movies and watch movies and watch movies. And that can, and if you decide to be a filmmaker, your education just by watching movies can inform quite a lot of what you're doing.
There's so many directors who didn't go to film school. They just immersed themselves in film and researched on their own. And
obviously, this is a completely different art form, wrestling. But I remember watching, there was a review that the website SoCal Uncensored did from some really bad promotion in SoCal. And I forget what it is, and I wouldn't name it even if I knew. But they ran it down in their review, and they showed videos. And I swear to God, dude, it was as if you and I, without a single day of training, got in the ring and started trying to wrestle. It might have even been worse. And so when I look at that, I'm like, oh man, that is such a reminder at how not easy wrestling yes. actually is and how much yes. real training
is. And that's just the in-ring product.
That's just the in-ring product.
That's not
doing
counting
a live broadcast.
Promos in the midst of a live production.
Yeah.
It's a huge endeavor.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
And the fact that they get it right 99% of the time is incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
So that gave us the match, The Miz versus Big E. Shout out to Patrick Sparks in the second row with the Going in Raw sign.
Yes, shout out to Patrick. And shout, I didn't get a picture of him, but Mikey Omega did send me over a picture of, let's see here. I know his last name is La Montaigne. Let me get his first name. He's the current Friendoverse champion. And his name is Matt LaMontagne. I have a picture of him right here holding up at SmackDown the Friendoverse Championship.
That's pretty cool.
Right there. Friendoverse is the closed Facebook group for Friendos. Just go to Facebook if you want in, type in Friendoverse, all one word, and apply to be in the group. There are, according to from what I've heard, we're not running it. It's Mikey Omega. It's his thing, but he keeps a really tight, mm-hmm. positive ship. He's mm-hmm. all about the power of positivity.
Yes.
And you got to have your credentials, your bona fides.
Yeah.
He asks some questions.
There's an entrance exam.
It's like the bar, not the bar. It's like the bar exam.
The bar exam, yeah.
Entrance to being lawyer.
I wonder if we could pass this test.
Probably. I'm terrible. No, probably not.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so bad with all that kind of stuff these days. Like tests and like trying to remember what I did back. I was digging through my parents' garage like a year ago.
Yeah.
And I came across a paper that I wrote senior year in high school. And it was amazing. It was so well written. It was so good. Couldn't do that now.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of how I feel about my papers. If I had to write a paper now, it'd be terrible.
I mean, I've burned off so much.
I haven't taken an English class in more than 20 years. Senior year in high school was the last English class I've taken. I
don't remember. You didn't have to take any in junior college?
No, because I took AP English and passed the test.
Oh. I took an English lit class in college. I loved it. It was great.
Like, I don't even know how to use commas anymore. I just put commas everywhere.
You're the run-on sentence, man.
No, I don't. It's not run-on sentences. I just put commas everywhere.
Yeah. That's good. I like it.
Anyways, back to this match. It was a solid match. They gave it a ton of time. I like how they do this on SmackDown. They open the show with some sort of talking segment and then give you 20 minutes of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. There's a lot of good back and forth during this match. Eventually, T-Bar comes out, attacks Xavier Woods. Kofi Kingston jumps off, I think, Cesaro's shoulders into Sheamus,
mm-hmm.
makes the save, but eventually T-Bar gets the upper hand. Brogue kick for Kofi. This all serves as a distraction as Big E is going for a big ending. Miz takes advantage, hits skull-crushing finale, gets the win.
Yes. Yeah. Good stuff.
So, all in all, a very good match. Good storytelling.
Great way to kick off SmackDown.
Yes.
Really fun. And it's I don't know, it just felt fresh having The Miz on SmackDown. The Miz, he really is the glue.
Yeah.
He's the glue.
Well, there's that, and there's also The New Day kind of... You know, going after singles.
Yeah, no,
pursuit.
They're shifting out
collectively.
Of the tag. Yeah, shifting out of the tag division mm-hmm. is something new and fresh, and I like it. I like it a lot. Next up, we saw Cass
walking backstage on crutches, like berating people too.
Yeah,
he was pretty surly about his current predicament.
Yeah, people seem pretty.
You know, emotional. And we heard Monday this is all a work, him selling the injury thing, and it still could be, but there is also rumors that. Like backstage, he was legit walking with a limp. So
yeah.
Either he's a pro.
Oh, he's a pro, man.
Or maybe he actually did tweak his knee a little bit.
I'm telling you, man. A lot of people still want to crap on Cass, and I don't get it because I think that the work that it's obvious that he's put in his time off, especially with the character stuff, is but like, man, you remember where he was before? He was all shaky on the mic.
I know.
And it's like we were just sort of giving him golf claps for the baby steps he was taking.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's walking now,
mm-hmm.
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, next up, there was a Daniel Bryan interview. I kind of liked how this was lit, like before the Renee Young showed up.
Yeah, I know. And then he stepped to his left, and you could see the blue light behind like a piece of fence or something, and it ruined the illusion of it.
Yeah.
It's like, is there really, like, actually a really moody kind of corner of this arena
yeah.
in was it Worcester, Mass. They were in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, that's pretty neat. And then he just steps to his left to meet with Renee Young. Yeah. It's just a blue light going through a piece of fence or something like that.
Yeah, it was good.
Kind of ruined the illusion, but yeah, no, it was good.
At first, it was, but then it just turned into regular weird.
And I feel like the camera light turned on as he approached Renee Young because it got brighter.
I know it did. It morphed into just standard backstage segment as opposed to, wow, this is actually really.
So
well
when he was kind of warming up in that moody light, was that like a subjective point of view? Was that? Is that what they were doing? Where was like Daniel Bryan in his own space?
Yeah.
You know, preparing for his match, and this was the visual representation of it. And then as he stepped over to Renee Young, in doing so, he was stepping out of his space into WWE space. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, given that they don't even know when Roman's going to win the Universal title,
No.
Not that much thought has been put into anything, dude. Anyways, Daniel Bryan giving an interview with Renee Young, talking about, you know, what was he talking about? Jeff Hardy, probably?
Yeah.
They had a match?
Yeah, they've never had a match before.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like I look at this and I'm like, yeah, I don't remember what he said. But Jeff Hardy's interview was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was...
Yeah, that was great.
He was high on life, huh?
Yeah.
Man, that was great.
So all his synapses were firing and what was something else. Made another brain reference.
You know what? I remember what I was thinking during Daniel Bryan's interview. Because I don't think there was anything that special about his interview. But I do recall thinking to myself, man... His hair looks so good.
I know.
And it feels like literally a month ago that it was that weird, awkward phase.
I know. His hair grows really fast.
He powered through so quickly.
I know.
I wish. I freaking wish, man. But no, I've got this frizzy cat on my head. I don't get that.
I'm losing
cool
my
stuff.
Hair, so I can't grow cool hair. I wish I could.
What a sad couple of sacks of crap.
His hair
we
looks
are.
Incredible.
It looks amazing. And that's what I was thinking. I was like,
it looks thick.
It made me want to start growing my hair.
Full,
but you guys know what it's like when I grow my
thick
hair.
Thick and full but soft.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's fantastic. That's what I was thinking.
If I could have anybody's hair right now, it'd be Daniel Bryan. And it's the perfect length.
Oh, mine would still be Sonata.
I don't know.
If I could look like any human being on the planet, it'd be Sonata.
Like from head to toe?
Yeah.
You know, I get that.
Yeah. Because you'd probably lose a couple inches if you were as tall as Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
That's why I say Finn Balor, because we're about the same height.
Mm-hmm.
He's got about 25, 30 pounds on
he's
me.
He's got some decent hair, but
he's got a good hair.
I feel like his is starting to widow peak, too.
Well, I don't mind a little. I think Daniel Bryan's probably is, too, but it's so long. It's sumptuous.
Yeah.
That you don't pay attention to that, man.
That's good
it's
stuff.
It's like, wow, he's got a great head of hair.
Can we talk about this next match?
Yeah, this was great.
Lana comes out with maybe the most win face / win dance.
Because usually her awesome theme plays, and she'll do a little bit of a dance, and then just walk down the ring. But she was busting out all sorts of new moves.
It was charming as hell. And Aiden English gave her an amazing intro. I'm looking forward to this trio being dominant and fantastic, and faces.
I would love that, too.
They're going to be huge. Lana Day shirts.
You need to temper those expectations, because this is my worry.
Man,
this is my worry. That's what they should do, because based on what we saw last night,
super
this
over.
Small sample size, this is just basically a license to print all sorts of money.
So much money.
And you have yourself a huge, extremely over face faction of Rusev, Aiden English, and Lana.
Can't wait till, hold on, quarter four financial call comes in. They say... We're making, or 20 of 2019, right? And they're saying, okay, so we've got one third of our revenue is coming from Fox, one third's coming from NBC,
one third from Rusev Day. Exactly.
Rusev Day.
That's a possibility if they continue down this path.
Yeah.
My worry is they're not.
Oh, no.
Right when this builds to kind of where it needs to be to make a mint of money for the company, they're going to break them up.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen, and it's going to be lame.
It'd be terrible.
Because we saw how endlessly charming Aiden English and Lana are together in one match.
Yeah.
One, like, five-minute segment.
Yeah.
We already know that Aiden English and Rusev have great chemistry. We already know that Rusev and Lana have great chemistry. Put the three of them together.
I know.
It's a no-brainer.
I know.
It's an
no-brainer.
Absolute no-brainer.
I know.
And they're going to mess it up.
Yeah.
They will mess it up. Anyways.
Hey, man, I'm being optimistic.
I am, too. I want it to happen. I want it to work. Yeah. But I worry. History has told me. Not to get my hopes up. Anyways, Iconics come out because it's Lana versus Billy Kay in a Money in the Bank qualifier. Iconics come out, drop another promo. Speaking of charming, these two are charming.
Oh, I love them. They're great. Billy Kay especially.
They sing a song.
Yeah. They're terrible. Crowd starts booing them.
Yeah. Match starts pretty instantly. Aiden English produces a giant Lana Day sign under
huge.
The ring.
Yeah, it's huge.
That irritates Peyton Royce.
Mm-hmm.
She chases after him. It all serves as a distraction, so Lana gets the upper hand, gets Billie Kay back in the ring, hits two moves, and wins.
Well, Billie Kay throws Lana into the ring after Lana dispatches of Peyton Royce. Billie Kay throws Lana back in the ring.
Oh, yeah, kicks her, spinning heel kick, and then an X-Factor.
Yeah.
Picks up the win. It's Lana's first singles win.
In her career. And the emotion on her face, between her win dance and win face, and then the emotion in the ring right afterwards, it feels like she might have been told that she was going over either right before she went out there. And because it was, I told you this off camera, it was a really simple sequence of events that could have been explained right before she went out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not the case. Maybe she knew all day. I don't know. Steve doesn't know. I don't know anything. I don't have any backstage info. But the emotion that she showed, I mean, maybe it would have been a big deal regardless.
It was very real. I wonder if the moment would have been amplified if they had had Rusev come out and celebrate with her. Imagine the three of them, hands raised in the middle of that ring.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Telling you, man, license print money.
But you know what? I wonder. Maybe he was given the option. He said, "I want her to celebrate. I want her to have that moment.
Let her have the spotlight all to herself." That's entirely possible.
I like that because, man, it felt super real. Let's see here. Next up, we had Zelina Vega
promo, and she pretty much says, "What's this competition they're giving us? We want better competition. If they're not going to give it to us, then we're going to take over."
I mean, it's a valid point. They gave him Jobber last week. They gave him Jobber this week.
Yeah. The jobbers get a couple moves in, but otherwise almost looks like he's beating them up. Oh, he's working super stiff.
He's working stiff. He's working crisp.
And I can't wait until he's in a match with someone on his level.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to
I can't wait.
Blow the roof off
the place. Who's the first one you want him to feud with? How great would it be if he was, instead of Big Cass, if he was the one who interfered in Joe Daniel Bryan? And they're like, "We want the real competition. We want you."
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan versus Almas.
Oh, man. Give me that all summer.
God. That'd be so great. So many dream match scenarios here with Almas.
I know.
So good. Anyways, I forget the dude's name. It was Ken something or another.
Oh, I didn't think they announced it.
I noticed on Twitter some indie talents were shouting
him
out.
I don't believe they announced it. They just said
you're probably
Almas
right
is competitor or opponent.
Yeah.
Anyways, Almas went over with a hammerlock DDT. He did the running knees into the corner when the guy was facing on his back, and then the guy flopped over and did it again. The second one looked stiff as heck.
It looked nasty. But, hey, good experience for that jobber guy.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, a couple shots in.
Oh, yeah, and that back elbow.
Yeah.
That freaking spinning back elbow was amazing.
Well, like he preceded it with like a kick.
It was like a kick, and then like,
instantly followed up with that elbow.
Oh, man. Corey Graves almost started laughing. I think he was taken. He was like, "Oh, my God, I haven't seen something that amount of velocity before." That was really good. That's why I like having our Patreon chat here.
Because they remind us of stuff.
They pick up the details, Anyways, next up, we saw a very close-up shot of what appeared to be Asuka because it was the Asuka mask. But then
wasn't Asuka.
They pulled back, and Charlie said, "So, Carmella," and Carmella brought down the mask. I love Carmella these days.
Yeah.
I think her promo work, it's so clean, it's so crisp.
Mm-hmm. She knows her character completely, and she's completely comfortable with it.
Yeah, she does, and I feel like the. What she talks about in terms of wanting to be taken seriously as a champion, I get the feeling that she really kind of feels that way.
I think
that she's putting in the work.
I think so.
I mean, I'm not sure how long it's going to be before she becomes like a really good wrestler. But in terms of everything she can control and can get, you know, she's getting better at a lot of things. And, you know, the wrestling thing hopefully will come along.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of having the presence of character, I think it's there. I mean, she sort of hit the regular beats, you know, she said, "Because I beat Charlotte twice, that means I'm twice as good as Asuka and she should be the one fearing me."
Yeah.
So she wasn't really sweating it. She said, "I'm going to moonwalk all over her."
And then she moonwalked out of frame.
Yeah.
Next, we had an AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura face to face meeting where Nakamura was going to reveal the stipulation for their match at Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
AJ comes out first, does a brief interview with Renee Young. And then Nakamura is introduced.
Yeah.
He comes to the ring. There's some good back and forth between AJ and Nakamura.
Nakamura seems like he's having so much fun.
Oh,
with
I know.
This stuff.
It's such a 180 from what he was doing before, where it seemed like he didn't really, like, the direction for his character was this kind of non-existent, basically.
It was non-existent.
Now, same with Carmella, he has a very clear idea of who his character is.
I like that he said, "I joke because I have the upper hand. You joke because you're scared."
Mm-hmm.
I really like that because AJ was trying to get some zingers in.
Yeah.
And Nakamura was calling him out on it.
And then AJ says, all right, make it with it. What's the stipulation? And then Nakamura says, pillow fight.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Gets a good reception from the crowd.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Some yes chance for a pillow fight. And he starts laughing.
Yeah.
Anyways, of course, this comes to blows.
Mm-hmm.
Takes it to the outside. At one point, Nakamura has AJ down on the mat, and he starts counting.
Mm-hmm, yeah. AJ gets up at around 4 or 5 or so.
Yeah, Nakamura's like, all right.
Yeah.
Suplexes him to the table. Kinshasa counts to 10.
And then gets on the mic. Gets on top of the announce table. Gets on the mic.
And just says, last man standing match.
Yeah. That was good. That was really good. I like it. I think it's great. I would have preferred an I quit match.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe after last man standing, they'll go there. Last man standing should be cool because from what I understand, if I'm not mistaken, last man standing is also no DQ.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use whatever you want,
whatever
you want. Exactly. So that sort of separates it. Cause I was kind of worried. I was like, well, we kind of just saw the end of a last man standing match at the last one where they did the 10 count and neither man got up.
Yeah.
But in a proper last man standing match, it's no DQ, so you can just wail away with chairs, whatever you want.
Well, that last match with no one answered the standing 10 count, that was
no DQ.
Oh,
that was
no
DQ also. Yeah. Well, what do you want? I have faith that they'll make it even better.
They've managed to make each one of their matches a bit better.
Mm, yeah.
Matches have improved as this feud has gone along.
Yeah. Still, an I quit match would have been cool.
Yeah. We might see that. Next, the Usos versus the Club winner. Number one contenders for the SmackDown Tag Team titles.
Yeah, this was interesting. This was pretty quick.
Like, yeah.
It was basically as quick as the... Because there was a promo that preceded it.
Yeah.
The Club were, you know, they eventually ended up calling the Usos nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Club went over really quickly.
Yeah, relatively.
I mean, I'm not going to call it a squash match
necessarily. Because Usos had the upper hand for the vast majority of the middle part of the match.
It was a really short match, though.
It was pretty short.
Like, I was pretty surprised about this. I don't think they... Oh, they did go to commercial. They did go to commercial because we got a picture.
Yeah,
match,
yeah.
I think.
But it was like only two ads that ran. Was it
yeah.
a full commercial break?
Yeah.
I feel like. Gallows did kick out of a top rope splash.
Yeah.
The Usos were going for the double top rope splash. Anderson pushes one of them off the turnbuckle, and eventually Anderson pinned somebody. He was not the one that was pinned.
Yeah.
He pinned Jimmy Uso after Magic Killer.
Yeah.
Club, new number one contender for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. They will lose to the Bludgeon Brothers at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, I hope over the next couple of weeks we at least get to see the Club, you know,
do something.
I hope we at least get to see the Club.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Over the next couple of weeks on TV.
Let's start
we
with
get
that.
To see the Club. So, I don't know. That's cool. It's kind of surprising. The Usos just sort of pretty quickly. But in any event, whatever.
Next, Naomi versus Sonya Deville in a Money the Bank qualifier.
Yeah, dude, I can't do this.
Go over there and turn the lights on off real quick while I do this.
Well, we got a different light set up here.
I'm not serious because
I gotta get up and get my water anyway.
Oh, all right.
Let's see if I can do this. Oh no, it takes forever to come on. Yeah, that's as good as I can. There we go.
So, yeah, Money in the Bank qualifier was a decent match. Sonya Deville really continues to improve.
Yeah, I like her. She's good.
But she came up on the losing end. Naomi pinned her after a roll-up. So Naomi will be in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah.
There's one spot left in each match. Yeah, it's kind of surprising. Neither of
nobody in Absolution.
Members of Absolution are in the match, and probably none of the members of Riot Squad are going to be in the match either over on Raw.
So who do we have? We've got...
It's Sasha, Bayley, Riot Squad, and Dana Brooke in a gauntlet match. So it's either going to be Sasha or Bayley.
Okay, who's in the match so far, like in the
we
Monday
have
Night match?
We have Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, Ember Moon, Natalia, Becky Lynch, Naomi, and... Four from Raw. So the four: Alexa Bliss, Ember Moon, Natalia. Well, another one from Raw is still TBD. That's one to decide next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Naomi. Oh, didn't someone? Oh, Lana.
Do we only have one heel in that match? Alexa Bliss. Who am I missing out? Becky Lynch.
Face. Charlotte. Face. Oh, Alexa Bliss. She's a heel.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Alexa Bliss.
Ember Moon. Face.
Ember Moon. Naomi. Face.
Yeah, I think so.
I would think whoever's so who's is Riot Squad, Bayley, Sasha. I feel like Bayley and Sasha will always cancel each other out.
Or one will cost the other one an opportunity to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be. It's kind of weird. They only have one heel, though.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Interesting.
I mean, I guess the last, like Carmella had it last. She was a heel.
Yeah. So I mean, this typically it works better for a heel because it's an opportunistic.
Telling you, man.
Mechanic behind the entire briefcase.
Becky Lynch heel turn with the briefcase cashes in on I don't know whomever.
Could be
Oscar or whatever.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Next, Jeff Hardy gave a great interview. Says synapses are all firing. He's gonna
and Lana. I forgot Lana.
No, I did mention Lana.
Oh, you said
eventually.
Lana. Somebody here said we forgot Lana.
Yeah, great interview from Jeff Hardy. He seemed very comfortable.
Yeah, no, he was all like usually when I think of Jeff Hardy, he's just down like this, right? You know, we can get some things. But he's like Boomhauer. But
he was excited.
He was like super excited. He's like, man, I can't believe it. My synapses are firing, and he was talking about brain stuff. W.S. Fletcher would know what he's talking about. He was talking about synapses and
something about what part of the brain was it? The cortex?
Yeah, I don't know, what is it?
There's cortex? A cerebral cortex.
Cerebral cortex? I don't know. He was talking about all sorts of stuff with the brain. Anyways, he was very excited, and he said, man, me and Daniel Bryan together haven't had this in a long time.
Well, it's never happened.
Exactly, long time. So, yeah, I thought it was a really good interview. He was really, really excited. Is that wonderful?
And it led to our main event, Jeff Hardy versus Daniel Bryan. A pretty good match. Samoa Joe came out on commentary. Samoa Joe is the best.
Can he please do – I know it's kind of beneath him. But, man, Samoa Joe on commentary when he retires.
Yeah.
Or even before then.
Yeah.
Just if he's not – if it's not a match, just come out for commentary.
Yeah.
Be the third guy.
Yeah.
Be a player coach type.
Yes, yes.
Wrestler commentator.
A wrestler commentator, yes.
That'd be great.
Gosh, he's so
he was
good.
He's amazing.
He's so good.
Yeah.
This is a good match. There's one spot where Daniel Bryan eats a twist of fate. Jeff goes up for the Swanton Bomb and just like is folded over Daniel Bryan's knees.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, that looks stiff.
I know, it looked bad.
And then Daniel Bryan does a dragon screw leg whip right into the heel hook.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Hardy taps out. I like that Daniel Bryan is using the heel hook for a finisher these days.
I know, me too. I know.
I like that. At least for the storyline with Cass, that seems to be the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, we have this great...
Like right when his music is hitting, Samoa Joe wasted no time in saying, Daniel Bryan!
And then face-to-face, basically nose-to-nose.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was so awesome.
A stare down.
Freaking Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe... Next week, main event, SmackDown. Winner goes on, Money in the Bank.
It's not going to be the match we really want.
Because it's going to be a screw finish.
Cass is going to cost Daniel Bryan that match.
It's going to be a screw finish.
But I love that Joe got in Daniel Bryan's face and says, essentially, why are you celebrating? This just means you face me next week.
That's a good point.
It was great.
It's Mojo scary. Yeah, man. Here's what you do. Listen. Hour two of SmackDown next week.
Just give it all to them.
That's when you start the match.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
And you give it a real finish.
Well, I agree. That'd be great. But they're not going to do that.
Probably not. They're going to start with 20 minutes left in the show.
Well, that with entrances.
With entrances and an extended ad.
So you get about 12 minutes of action with a commercial break in the middle and then the wonky finish with Cass.
Screw finish, yeah. Yep.
That's what we're going to get. Right as the match is getting good, too.
But you know what? It'll be fun. It'll be a tease. Hopefully we'll get Daniel Bryan versus Samoa.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Daniel Bryan being back just opens so many opportunities. So many doors are open with Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great. It's so much fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And SmackDown just feels right for him.
Yeah, yeah. Then afterwards, Samoa Joe goes to gorilla position, a brief interview with Renee Young.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they wrapped a little quicker than they thought they would.
Yeah, that kind of felt they said like it was the case.
Do an interview right here.
Yeah, no.
Because the last one worked so great.
But I remember Joe really saying much different than what he said to Daniel Bryan in the ring.
No, he did. He started doing a yes chant.
Mm-hmm.
He said, next week I will end Daniel Bryan or something like that. And he starts saying,
I'll put
yes,
him to sleep, probably.
Yes. Oh, he said, whenever I speak truth, you call it strong words. I like that. That was good. Because Renee Young says
he had some strong words for Daniel Bryan.
Whenever I speak truth, you call it strong
words.
Gosh,
he's the best.
He's such a movie character.
Oh, heck yes.
It's awesome. Anyways, Should we answer some questions?
Yeah.
Hey, Larson, do you know where you can ask questions?
Oh,
to
that's
going
on our
Raw?
That's on our Patreon.
Patreon.com/StephenLarson.
Okay, you're hitting on all cylinders these segues today.
$1 a month gets you access to our Patreon, to our question and answer thread for all of our recap shows.
Here, Alex Foster has a great question, and it's a detail that we forgot to mention towards the end of the Miz New Day segment. When The Miz said he wasn't going to wrestle Big E, the New Day started throwing pancakes at him and saying, shame.
Oh, that was great. Shame.
Individually.
Shame.
And then collectively.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
That was fantastic.
Anyways, Alex Foster.
I got to do that too. I got to, like, we'll do a thing on the thread. What small moments would you like us to address?
Yes.
There. Patreon. $1.
There you go. Alex Foster.
Also gets you access to the Discord.
Yes. Alex Foster, what other tag teams should bring food to the ring with them and throw them at people? Bludgeon Brothers with turkey
meat.
Legs.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Like giant turkey
the
legs.
The giant turkey legs.
That's a good one. Usos with prison food.
All right.
Trays, like prison trays.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, and it's like mashed potatoes with a shiv hidden in them.
Thebar.
Yeah.
With some pub mix. Like pretzels,
pub
some
mix.
Nuts.
There you go. Pub mix.
Pub mix.
That's a good one. I like that.
Many tag teams over on Raw.
What would the Authors of Pain have? Yeah, I have no idea what they eat.
Who else is over there? Oh, the Revival.
The Revival. Oh, what do they eat? I don't know what they eat.
What about the Club?
Little box of nerds.
There you go. That's good. Jack Dolan with SmackDown moving to Fridays on Fox. How will that affect your podcast schedule?
Well, here's the thing.
We did this on the kickoff the show on Monday, I believe, right?
We've got Raw on Mondays. We got Raw on Mondays.
Right and now, then, SmackDown's on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
That's getting moved to Fridays in 2019. We still have NXT on Wednesday. Nothing on Thursday.
But we also...
205 Live is right now taped after SmackDown on Tuesday. Will that change when SmackDown moves to Friday?
We don't know what's going on with 205 Live. We don't know what's going on. There might be more network programming. It definitely, like, maybe the Monday show. I love the way we have it right now.
Yeah.
Because Mondays and Fridays are the bookend news days.
Yeah.
And I love that. I don't know what we're going
to
do.
We have a year and a half to figure it out.
We're too old to come in on Saturdays. We're not trying to do that. Come on now.
It'll do better if we do it on Saturday.
I'd rather do it Friday night.
No.
After the show.
No. Because it'll be like 10 and I'll be ready for bed. Or I'll be out getting loaded.
I'm getting my load on.
Because that means every Friday night we'll have to not go out and have fun.
I agree. I don't like any of it, but I also don't like coming out on Saturday.
All right. And then Monday it is. Raymond Earl.
We'll see. We have a year and a half to figure it out.
Exactly.
Maybe
Raymond Earl.
Put it on Friday.
Yeah, who knows? Raymond Earl, think last minute there is still a chance they'll do a tag team Money in the Bank. No.
No, they're way past that.
Oh, here we go. Liam Wagner, create a broadcast team consisting of current active WWE talent when they retire. One, Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He
Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And
did you see Kevin Owens' little vlog?
Oh, I didn't watch that yet.
Oh, it's so great. It's so awesome, especially like he's running down Bobby Lashley while he's coming out, while his entrance music is playing. And then all of a sudden you hear bronze music, you know, just Braun. And he freaks, he goes, ouch, and it cuts.
That's funny.
It's hilarious.
Joe, Kevin Owens, and we need a face.
Well, I'd say Sammy as a face. If
right.
Sammy was a face, it'd
all
be
right.
him. Or AJ. AJ would be good. Could you imagine if it was AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and somebody else that has history with those guys?
Like Bob Roode?
Yes. Yes. That'd be amazing. this is a good question. Didn't get upvoted, but I'm going to read it anyways. Can you look up this name? It was Chuck the
Bipartisan Gamer Sips.
Considering we hear superstars get in trouble for going off script, like Big Cass versus Little Daniel Bryan, do you believe Vince truly wants superstars to grab the brass ring? It seems to only bring trouble to those who actually try.
Yeah, I thought of that too. So I guess he just wants them to grab the brass ring backstage.
Can we please
lobby
get...
for their own success as opposed to just saying, oh, you know, like you're out there doing a segment and you get an idea. I mean, the cast thing is something different because he did go to Vince to it and Vince said no. And if Vince says no, that should be that.
Yeah.
But if you're out there in the ring and you have an idea that you think will be really good and you run with it, you know, knowing full well that it hasn't been approved by anybody, mm-hmm. but you feel like it'll really enhance the segment. If someone did that and got in trouble, that'd be kind of lame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so long as it didn't extend the segment, you know, like an extra 2 minutes or something, because then you're messing with the TV mm-hmm. broadcast. But if, you know, there's like some little bit where someone has a line or something they throw in there because they think it would enhance the segment and it's really good, and they go backstage and Vince lays into him for going off script, even though it made the segment better, I think that would be unfortunate because that's someone saying, oh, here's an opportunity to kick things into another gear, to take things to another level.
Let me ask you something. When KO put his hand over Stephanie's shoulder, that was planned in advance.
Yeah.
That had to have been.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of thing where you don't really want to go off script because you could get suspended like Titus O'Neil did for 60 days. However, those kinds of things where, like you said, if there's an opportunity to add something to your character, to add some little bit of improv that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't be punished for that stuff.
Agreed.
What Big Cass did was a bit different. And, I mean, you know, there. When if I would just think if Vince McMahon says it's a hard no, then you probably should go with the hard
exactly.
no. That wouldn't fall into his criteria for reaching the brass ring. That being said, can we please get a printout of what exactly reaching for the brass ring is? I suspect it's something more akin to not going off script, but adding more to what you're doing. So I'll give you two examples. Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal. We obviously know that Vince McMahon has to be good with Jinder Mahal simply because he gave him the WWE Championship mm-hmm. for 6 months, mm-hmm. right? Jinder Mahal came back looking amazing, mm-hmm. looking jacked. He was doing good work on the promos. He was giving it a lot. He was really showing, hey, you know, I've upped my game quite
a
bit.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's probably what Vince McMahon is talking about.
Well, that could be.
Drew McIntyre comes back looking like a transformed human being, looking like five times the man he was, and he was already pretty manly.
Oh, yeah.
And he's giving, you could just tell in his delivery
yeah.
that it's so intense. And I'm not saying he's just talking loud. It's just there's such intensity and passion to everything
he
says.
We saw Drew in the background during Dolph's match against Chad Gable, and every movement was informed. There was motivation
by
every little thing he was doing, and it was all motivated by a character.
Yeah, I would think that's probably what he's referring to, which makes Roman Reigns all the more mind-boggling.
Yeah, no.
Anyway.
I mean, I understand that point of view, but I also kind of took it as, you know, we've heard in the past that during the Attitude Era, the locker room was full of sharks, guys who were backstage willing to do near everything to enhance their own position in the company.
Do you think he's advocating politicking a lot?
I don't know.
Like abnormally strong politicking?
Could be.
Backstabbing?
Maybe.
That could be.
That's kind of, I mean, I understand your interpretation, but I also kind of thought, well, maybe he wants people that are literally willing to go to Vince and jockey for position.
Yeah.
Within the company.
That wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me.
GM Spud, Jeff Hardy has said on multiple occasions that the only accolade he wants to add to his career is competing in Hell in a Cell. Who would be the best opponent for Hardy in a Hell in a Cell match, and what should the story be?
Oh, Jeff, no, I don't want Hell in a Cell.
You want to see a swanton off the top of the
cell? No, because we'd get that. No. Oh, man. Who'd be a good opponent for Jeff Hardy in Hell in a Cell? Samoa Joe.
That'd be good.
That'd be great. Hardy's got the U.S. title right now, right?
Booby booby bum bum. So what are the odds this Lana English thing turns into an affair storyline?
Oh, God, that'd be the worst.
That would be awful.
Oh, that'd be so bad.
But given how awful of an idea it is, I think the odds are pretty good.
You think that it's pretty good that it would be an affair thing?
That's what they're going to end up doing with it. That's what's going to end up breaking up Rusev Day.
Can we just please pray right now?
It's a terrible idea. Let me put that
gods.
There.
That here, because we're talking about it, it's not going to happen.
Because I say the odds are good that it will happen, it won't happen.
All right.
Now, I'm not saying the odds are good.
It worked with Randy Orton
this
year.
It's not more than 50%.
It worked with Randy Orton winning the Royal Rumble this
year. It's
like
a 10% chance that's going to happen.
I say it's a 60% chance it's going to happen.
There you go.
And I think it should happen. Let's make it happen, everybody.
All right.
Hey, can we put on an exclusive backstage sources say that this is going to happen? And then we'll be wrong, and we'll be like, oh, yeah, going in Raw never gets it right. We take the worst-case scenarios, and we try to make sure they don't happen.
There you go. Marvelous Marcus Tyler, since the Bludgeon Brothers and War Raiders are basically the same gimmick, book how they would form a big bearded man faction. Thanks, friendos.
Bludgeon Brothers and War Raiders.
And they're both kind of medieval.
Yeah.
How
they would form a big bearded man faction. They would hand out flyers for their new club.
Yeah.
That's what War Raiders would do, and then Bludgeon Brothers would see them, and they'd be interested. They want friends.
No, this
to
is
play
this,
with their
this
toys.
Is how you do it. So you know the Bludgeon Brothers, yeah, have toys. Yeah. War Raiders come to SmackDown, and they appreciate the extensive collection that Bludgeon Brothers have, mm-hmm. and they all recognize, oh, we all have beards too. We have two things in common. Let's be friends.
Let's be friends and let's start a club.
Yes.
Let's see here. Jaunty asks, I love some good trash talking, but sadly, WWE writers are not that creative with insults. I want you to come up with three creative insults for WWE superstars.
Roman Reigns really needs help in this regard.
Yeah.
Is there something that plays off his yard,
mm-hmm.
the guy, big dog, that he could use as like a catchphrase insult?
I mean, he could walk up to somebody instead of like trash talking. He could lift their leg next to them.
Lift his leg next
lift
to them.
Lift his leg next
and
to them.
And then do the like pantomiming peeing on them and then say, big dog.
Right. There you go.
There you go.
That's great.
Or say, you're in my yard now.
You are my yard
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's marked his territory.
You're my yard now.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good. Big dog. You're my yard now. Everybody's my yard.
I'm not Baron Corbin.
Hey.
With the early SmackDown promos for Sanity emphasizing they were bringing chaos to the show, and Nakamura being the former leader slash founder of Chaos in New Japan, is there any chance that was a hint that they will debut in the WWE Championship match at Money in the Bank to help Nakamura win? Probably not, but I do think a Nakamura Sanity versus Styles Club feud could be a lot of fun.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, although I would really doubt they'd be that. Like using the word chaos, I think that they would probably not. I don't know. Probably not.
Because in NXT, it wasn't chaos that was their thing; it was anarchy. That's what they would talk about.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly.
So I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they did. It honestly wouldn't surprise me if they did. And I think it'd probably be kind of fun if they did. Better than a lot of the other things that I feel like they could do with Sanity.
The glorious Steve Klein. Hey, friend, knows why does the beginning of Lana's entrance music sound the same as No Way Jose's? I don't think it does. Because No Way Jose
Doesn't
starts
he
with
use
that.
The same instrument?
That's how No Way Jose's song starts. But Lana's, it starts with a little instrumental thing before the beat kicks in.
Don't they both have similar instrument?
Well, I know there's steel drums in Lana's that din-din-din-din-din sounds like it might be steel drum.
And what's the one that goes...
Some sort of horn it sounds like.
I feel like, don't they both have horns in them? Doesn't No Way Jose have horns in it?
Maybe.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know. I think they both have horns in it.
We'll have to listen to No Way Jose's first. But no, that has a four on the floor.
Yeah.
Drum beat to start, whereas Lana, it takes longer for the beat to kick in. Lana's theme is so good. We were listening to it in the pre-show today.
It was great.
Maybe Chad can tell us if there's horns or
horns.
Steel drums.
Other horns.
In both songs. Any more questions?
I'm looking.
Oh, Liam Wagner. When, not if, when going in Raw gets to the point of success and can start his own wrestling promotion, a la WCPW, you start signing wrestlers to portray characters from Friend of Unified Championship Fund, WCW, Bad Rad Wrestling. Which wrestlers portray the following? Who is Mecha Santa?
Ooh. Okay, so I'm sorry. We're signing up wrestlers
to portray these characters.
What's our budget limit?
Unlimited.
So, and contractually speaking?
Unlimited. Okay. Anybody we want. Unlimited resources.
Oh, man. Mecha Santa. So we need, I mean, it'd be Mark Calloway. Be The Undertaker.
All right.
They'd have to rebrand him as Mecha Santa.
Yeah.
He's kind of there, you know? Just give him some green hair, a big green beard.
I think it would be a good top notch. I mean, he has Triple...
It's just Triple H.
But it's just Triple H's face, but it's on a mask. And also, top notch is massive. He's super tall.
Well, yeah, but that's because we have the resources in the game to do that.
We have unlimited resources here. I mean, it's not really – he doesn't have Triple H's moveset. And the only thing that's – Triple H is the H face on the mask.
Okay, well, you created him. You tell me.
I'm trying to think of like the moveset and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What about Donovan Dijak? He's a super athletic guy.
Sure. He's goofy as hell, too. Yeah, okay. Donovan. It's Chris Dijak for one thing.
Well, I know. I'm showing my bona fides. I knew his name was in Ring of Honor. Growth hormone. Is there anybody out there that can be growth hormone?
Oh, man.
Oh, Brian Cage. He's massive.
Kind of looks like
and
him.
Super tall.
We would just need like some really good Tom Savini-esque effects on him. Yeah. That's a really good one.
Matthew E. Williams Esquire.
Oh, man. I don't know who's he's a stud, you know? Who's a stud?
About Velveteen Dream.
Or would you want to skip? I don't know how old Matthew Healy. I mean, he's been around long enough to be a lawyer, right? I'd say Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, that's good, too.
That's a good one.
That's good. Man dying of thirst. James Ellsworth.
Yeah, okay. That works.
Cerebellum Assassin.
Ugh.
Triple H.
Yeah, okay.
And then Bokata. Have to be Okada.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, Bokata was actually Okada.
Sort of like Lenny Omega was, in fact.
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Are you ready to do trivia?
Yeah.
All right. $5 a month on the Patreon.
Oh, Robert Jacone in chat says, in here says, who's Adam Mayhem? Adam Mayhem would be Adam Mayhem.
It's Hilton. Hilton would be Adam Mayhem. Adam Mayhem can't even wrestle right now. He's got like a freaking hole in his face. Mm.
Who's going first?
I'll go first. Let's see here. Superstars. Superstar bio.
Yeah.
The Barbershop was an interview segment hosted by who?
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Very good.
Survivor Series traditionally takes place around which U.S. holiday?
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
What was the name of ECW's first pay-per-view?
Ooh. Barely Legal.
Very good.
Who was the only man to win the King of the Ring twice?
Is this one obvious?
No.
Edge?
Well, you know, it's Bret Hart.
You sound like Minnesota Joe right
I
there.
I know.
Well, you know.
Well, you know.
Well, you know, yeah.
I shoot won the tournament twice and said F-U.
And said F-U. What was the unique venue for WCW's Hog Wild pay-per-view?
Oh, is that a motorcycle rally in Sturgis, South Dakota?
Very good. Sturgis.
Who did New Jack infamously cause to pass out through blood loss at an ECW house show in 1996?
Mass Transit. Who was the first ever WWE Divas champion?
Oof. Candice Michelle.
Wrong Michelle.
Oh.
Put that title on my future wife. Hey, man, I think it's great you won that championship, Michelle.
In 2002, Mark Henry won the inaugural edition of which strongman competition?
In 2002?
Yeah.
A strongman competition?
Yeah.
Man, I feel like I kind of knew this, but I don't. I don't remember what is it?
The Arnold Classic.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah. God damn it. Hey, who are you? Number five. Superstar bio. Who briefly replaced Hawk as part of the Legion of Doom in 1992?
Oh, 92?
Yeah. You're about to say draw.
Yeah, I was. Sting.
Crush.
Oh. What acronym is shared by promotions ran by Herb Adams and Bill Watts?
What acronym? I don't know.
UWF.
Would not have known that. Which name connects Tito Santana and Ricky Steamboat? I don't even really understand this question.
Is it a tag team name or a person's name?
Which name connects Tito Santana and Ricky Steamboat? It's not a tag team name, no. You're not going to get this. Which name connects Tino Santana and Ricky Steamboat? But I'm not even really sure what this means.
Randy Savage?
It's Richard Blood. That's the answer right there.
Oh man, that Richard Blood is Steamboat's real name.
Is it both their real names?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
That's an oddly phrased question.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, here, your last one. Who is the first and only WWF Canadian champion?
Wait, was there a Canadian championship? Is that what it's asking? Or like the only person who's of Canadian origin to be WWF champion?
No, I think it's the only WWF Canadian champion, as in that's the actual title.
Oh, Bret Hart?
No, it's Dino Bravo.
Oh, okay.
One of Tito Santana's ring names was Richard Blood.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Wow. Yeah, well.
I got three. You got two. I won by one. I'll get a card later.
We both overestimated our odds by one. Anyways. Yeah, no, we need more prizes. Anyways, patrons, stay tuned, of course. At the $5 a month mark, you get to participate in the pre-show and post-show. You get to watch, interact with us. And, of course, on Wednesdays, we have chat trivia. I've got a couple of the chat trivia prizes waiting to go out.
Mm-hmm.
My lazy ass needs to get that done. Any event, let's get some music. Hilton, can we please
roll the music?
Roll the music.
There's some nice music. That's it for show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, talk to you guys later.
Bye.